From The Glory Cloak by Patricia O'Brien. For one long, lonely moment, I missed them all. I missed the rhythms of daily life, my walks with Louisa, helping Abba in the kitchen, my work at Mrs. Sanderson's shop. I forgot my restlessness, my spats with May. I missed home. Don't wallow in melancholy, I scolded myself. You're in the midst of historic times, not watching from afar. This is a splendid opportunity to do good. I closed my eyes and went to sleep, my dreams a jumble of delights and yearnings. Clara swept apart the curtains the next morning, bringing me bolt upright to blink at the morning sun. Time to get up, Susan. Others may celebrate, but we have work to do. Once enlisted in Clara's army, I realized there was no malingering. One leap into the air, one huzzah, and then it was back to work. So it was that a few hours later, I found myself squeezed into a carriage with Clara, Mrs. Gage, and Tom Cassidy for a trip to Annapolis. "We can't miss any of the hospital ships," Clara said. "If we do, men vanish forever. That's the way I see it, and that's what drives me." She talked incessantly the length of the journey, wringing her hands together and then smoothing down her hair, one gesture following the other, with never a moment of stillness.
"She's getting ready to fight,"
Tom said in a low voice when he saw me watching her in some puzzlement. "Fight what?"
"You'll understand soon enough."
The horse pulling our carriage slowed to a walk as we moved through a surge of people heading in a great hurry to the docks. A hospital boat had just pulled to shore.
"Just in time. Another cargo from Belle Isle and Andersonville," muttered Tom.
Soldiers began unloading dozens of stretchers carrying wounded men, lining them up in tidy rows along the wharf. They moved efficiently. Soon I counted over 60 men lying there, their faces pointed to the sky. Their work done, the soldiers stepped back. I wasn't prepared for what came next. The crowds of people surged forward with shouts and cries and began hurrying up and down the rows. There were a few happy cries of recognition. I fixed my attention on a haggard woman wrapped in a green wool shawl moving from one stretcher to the next, holding up her skirt to keep from brushing the still forms on the ground, peering into each face with an expression of fear mixed with hopefulness. Finally, despairing, she fell to her knees and cried to the skies,
"Who are these men? Where is my son?"
Tom turned and spat a large dollop of tobacco onto a dry patch of grass by the side of the road. He jumped from the carriage and reached up a hand to help me down.
"Here we go again," he said. "One more sad mama whose son is rotten in some godforsaken field."
"That's cruel," I protested, surprised.
"No, it isn't," he said. "It's just true."
"Don't be dismayed by Tom," Mrs. Gage said as he moved away through the crowd. "He's as sad about this as you are, that's all. He has two brothers out there somewhere, and the ones coming in are dying so fast no one is recording their deaths." I followed his thin form, noting the length of his legs, his fluid swinging gait. Mrs. Gage broke my concentration, gesturing in the direction of a cluster of men in dark vests working to push the crowd away.
"Watch them. Those are government men. Most of them are rogues who see their jobs to be hiding the disorganization. Oh, dear, Clara never gives up. She's trying again."
Clara approached one of the men, stepping in front of him so he had to face her square. I could not hear her, but she was talking rapidly as she pushed a piece of paper in front of his face. The man stared at her with a blank expression and turned away.
"See, they pay no attention."
Mrs. Gage tugged at her gloves, clearly exasperated. "They don't give a fig for President Lincoln's letter. They laugh at her behind her back, and no one will take on the responsibility of helping her set up an office or even give her the records with which to work. I'm afraid Clara's dream is becoming a charade." Clara strode back to where we stood, her face stubbornly set.
"Let's do the work we're here to do," she said.
Following her lead, our little band fanned out with pads of paper and pencils.